He's the host of the Netflix series Hip Hop Evolution. He's an MC who I didn't know much about prior to this, but I'm glad I know about him. I feel each of his albums are hip hop quotables. He just released his newest album, a short story about a war he shot, and I want to welcome him to the Library of Tomonico. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Cool. I want to start with a question that I heard you ask in the trailer for season two of Hip Hop Evolution. That question was, what was your first taste of hip hop?
My first taste of hip hop was probably a Canadian artist that you guys may or may not know. He goes by Maestro Fresh West.
I've interviewed him, yes. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, Maestro. He is great. Great guy, great artist, and in Canada, he's our godfather, like 100%. So he had some big hits when I was just a little kid, maybe 6, 7 years old. So those are my earliest memories of hip-hop. He had one hit song called Let Your Backbone Slide that was like a massive hit in Canada. And a huge anomaly in that sense, because if you listen to the song, it is like hip-hop. It's very hip-hop. It's not Ice Ice Baby. It's like Big Daddy Kane mm-hmm. sounding, Rakim sounding, like hard raps, hard drums, and it was a huge hit. So that's probably my first taste of hip-hop.
Would you say that he has had the kind of the biggest impact on you as an artist, or is that someone else?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's had the biggest impact of anyone, but definitely that initial impact of just seeing an artist, a hit rap song like really has a hip hop energy and to come into my life. And then in other ways too, you know, he was, you know, coming to learn that he's a Canadian artist and the way that he represented the kind of Black Canadian experience in his music was influential for sure. But yeah, I wouldn't say he's like the top of my list of influences just because I encountered his music way younger. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say the artists that I heard in high school were more influential.
With those Canadian artists as well? Or is that...
I would probably point to like the first instances of hearing Common, Lauryn Hill, Outkast, those would be, you know, the most formative like musical experiences of my life in terms of impact on my career.
The Netflix series Hip Hop Evolution not just takes the viewer through a journey of hip hop, it obviously takes yourself through your own journey of hip hop. So for you, what has been kind of the most surprising, I guess, story that you heard, something that you might have had a pre-notion about but could have been totally wrong?
Yeah.
Or like, what has stood out for you?
Well, there's a guy in the first season, DJ Hollywood, that I didn't know about, and I actually think a lot of hip-hop heads maybe didn't know about, who was just the biggest DJ in New York in a certain time in the 70s, and, you know, pioneering in terms of rap, like what we understand as rap, you know, he's like a pioneer. And that was news to me. I didn't know about that. You know, he was from Harlem, and what the story that we often hear is about the Bronx, and of course, rightfully so. That was new to me. Trying to think of other things. I mean, a lot of the other learning too is it's a different kind of learning for me. It's like more the physical, visceral learning of being in a place. Right, being in the Bronx and feeling the energy of that place and the mix of cultures that produced hip hop and actually having contact with it and kind of getting to know it on that level has been a big part of what I've learned too.
In the trailer for season two, Q-Tip talks about Nas, and obviously Nas, Illmatic. I mean, what more can you say, right?
Mm-hmm.
One thing Q-Tip says in the trailer, he says Nas was in a sense true, quote unquote, true hip hop. What is the definition of true hip hop in this sense?
Yeah, I think I know what he means. You know, part of the reason why Illmatic is held in such high regard, I think, is because it's still in the minds of music fans and hip hop heads, that is essentially hip hop. You know, this young, gritty, wise poet and beats that are grimy and soulful That's essentially hip hop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So I think that's kind of like what he means. And I do think that that remains like the essential elements of, you know, what you would call hip hop are those things.
There's something that happens in, and I should have wrote this question down, but there's something that happens during your interview with, in the Grandmaster Caz episode, the Underground to the Mainstream episode, where they talk about the famous battle. But then they talk about, And then there's a Rodney Dangerfield rapping, right? And the idea being is that rap becomes easy for people. Mm-hmm. You fast forward today. It's the most successful genre now, most popular genre.
Yeah.
You have, you know, YouTube stars, you have SoundCloud producers, et cetera, et cetera. Is rapping just as easy now as it was when the Rodney Dangerfield dropped an album? I mean, does it feel that way?
Yeah, I never really thought about that, but... in a sense, yes. You know, in the sense that there was a time, you know, as hip hop was developing and artists were expanding the boundaries of the genre and developing and like making the genre more sophisticated and more elevated, where like you had to be great to be involved. People listened for greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Of a certain kind. And now that's not what people listen for. It's not what a lot of people listen for. So in a sense, yeah, because rap is essentially easy.
Right. Like,
it is essentially easy. To be great at it is hard. But it is essentially easy. And there's something nice about that in the sense that like it means that anyone can use it to express themselves.
Right.
Theoretically, you know, if you have rhythm, which every human being is supposed to have, and, you know, language, which most human beings have too. You should be able to do it. But, to be great at it is hard. And there was a time, especially as, like, the genre developed probably, like, in the 90s or whatever, like, you had to be great. I mean, the standard, you know, we brought up Illmatic. Illmatic raised the bar. You had to approach that level of rapping. Rappers before that were like, well, I have to get way better.
Right.
You know, and the same thing happened with Rakim. It's like we interviewed DMC about Rakim, and I said, what did you think when you heard Rakim? He's like, I knew we were done. You know, like that's how the genre evolved. But then at a certain point, I think you reach a creative apex. It's like, can you rap better than Black Thought? No. You can rap as good as Black Thought. You can't rap better.
No.
You can rap as good as Eminem. You can't rap better. You can rap as good as Andre 3000. You can't rap better. So rapping great is no longer like the thing that you have to do in order to be heard. So, yeah, in a sense, I think you're right. I never really thought about that parallel to back then, but I think that's pretty accurate.
Was you interview Flash and he talks about Blondie,
mm-hmm.
And she does a rap. Was there, I didn't see it, and you know, it wasn't talked about in the interview, but was there a sense when she did the rap that it was too easy, as you know, another kind of same comparison as a Rodney Dangerfield, or was that?
Well, it was interesting getting people's perspectives on it because, like, I was probably not born at the time that that song came out, but it's interesting getting people's perspective on it because what it seems like that was less of what you're describing and more like a really cool moment where hip hop came into the mainstream a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It got a certain level of exposure, and the song, to a lot of the people we talked to, was like a tribute, you know, to rap music and the product of hip hop coming downtown and commingling with the punk scene and the new wave scene and everything. So everyone we talked to seemed to suggest it was like a tribute and a really cool moment and less like what it might sound like to us now.
Right.
Like, not great rap. You know?
I want to, of course, talk about your music, but when you talk to Grandmaster Caz, you also talk to Kane, Kumo D. Kane talks about how he ripped up his pad because mm-hmm. he's like, I'm doing, what the fuck am I doing here? You know, that type of
thing.
Yeah. And we talk about, our comedians talk about comedians. Through this mm-hmm. journey of for you, has there been like one common MC?
Oh, that's cool. One guy that comes up a lot, that's a great question. I mean, it's a lot of the same names tend to come up. You know what I mean? These guys like Rakim or Nas that really changed the game. Kane comes up a lot. Kaz comes up a lot. Melly Mel comes up a lot. A name that maybe not everybody talks about as much anymore is Slick Rick. Huge influence, huge influence. I think we tried to line up an interview with him, but we didn't get it. But, you know, everyone from Jay-Z to Andre 3000 to, you know, you name it, they cite Slick Rick as like a huge influence. The storytelling, the swagger, the humor. I think he's, what would I call him, you know, on the tree of MCs, he's one of those main first branches.
Right,
and people branch off from him. So he's an MC's MC for sure. That's come up a lot in interviews.
Yeah, Joel Ortiz has a great line in his song Hip Hop, and then its line is, "Slick talk to the track, who brought that to the game?" You're like, yeah, good point.